You're listening to Last Word Radio, where you get the last word.
Clock at five. Pass is intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler. Unreal.
And the dream season is now complete. The Golden State Warriors are the 2015 NBA champions. Their first title in 40 years.
Swing and a pop-up. Side the ball, down the line, in foul ground. He's got plenty of room, and he's got it! And the Giants have won! They have won the World Series for the third time in 5 years!
Five to go. For the third time in 6 years, the White Sox are Stanley Cup champion.
The final whistle sounds! The Los Angeles Galaxy are the first to five.
There he is!
What about that? It's John Brooks! It's John Brooks for the USA!
Ladies and gentlemen, football to football.
And your host, Sean Garmer and Matthew Pollard.
Hello and welcome to a special edition of Football to Football, and we are doing the post game here for Last Word on Sports on the USA versus Haiti. Once again, work did not cooperate with me. This time I didn't even get to watch any of the game at all, but someone that did is here with me, Mr. Chris Asbrock.
John, how you doing? Hey, not bad.
Just glad to be home and... I guess that the U.S. Won, a really tight one, 1-0, 47th minute for Clint Dempsey again, the guy that scores all the goals, apparently. Jesse Sardes helped him out on this one. It seemed like not a whole lot was going well for us. What did you think watching it?
Well, it was another underwhelming performance overall. First half was, they played better than what they did against Honduras, but it was still, it just wasn't that good. Haiti really took it to them on the attack.
Yeah, I'm seeing 21 shots to six.
Yeah, 21-6. It was pretty rough. I mean, and I believe I tweeted out, they're going to get absolutely stomped out if they play a team that can finish because, there were times, I know there was one play, it was a corner kick that we had. Ball came out and, it wasn't really a misplay, but, Haiti got possession. Literally, it took them seconds and they were down the field and ended up with a shot on goal. Things like that, they just really took it to us on the attack, but, And I did see a stat which was pretty incredible that I think this was the 13th different back four that the U.S. has had in 15 games since the World Cup. So, with things like that, it's tough. The continuity, it just hasn't been there. But, overall, another underwhelming performance. And, it is what it is, Luckily enough, we they're able to make it through the group, and now they have a game to where they can kind of a throwaway game against Panama on Monday night. But they can, you can try some more things, but it still wasn't what we had hoped, I guess.
Yeah, the United States once again finds themselves having Panama's destiny in their hands twice, and two competitions or two different, you know.
Yeah, poor Panama.
Yeah, poor Panama, really. Panama drew with Honduras, which is something I was talking with Matt about on the show before last, or the previous one when we talked about the first game the U.S. played. And I kind of figured it would end up like that in a draw because that's the way Panama and Honduras play each other. They always like are rough and play to draws, and it kind of happened that way. You know, I'm just really surprised against. I'm surprised first of all that you know Haiti really. It seems like Haiti is going to be the surprising team in this tournament. At least really in our group, they've just played both teams tough. I mean, they got that late goal against Panama in the first game that drew them 1-1. Then Honduras scored late on Panama in this game in the 81st minute. So apparently Panama is having a little bit of United States syndrome where they let goals in late. But, it seems like you're saying there's not much to make of this game other than another blasé. What did you think about them putting Clint Dempsey in the midfield here with Aaron Johansson and Josie up top?
I've made my displeasure known about Josie Altidore. I've never been a fan of his, and he showed again why I'm not a fan. He's just. I don't think he's very good. And I think that there is better options up there. Aaron Johansson played. I thought he played very well today. He started off pretty slow, but he was able to really rebound and he played. You know, he played well. His touch wasn't – it did let him down a little bit today. But overall, I thought he picked it up, and his game got better. Dempsey, he's just – you know, I thought he did a good job of helping out the midfield. He was getting back, and he was getting – like they mentioned on the broadcast, he was getting back and kind of – he was taking balls from Omar Gonzalez at some point. So he was dropping deep. So he was really helping out the midfield. When it came down to it, the halftime substitution was Artis coming in and getting Josie out. It was a great move. Obviously it worked out because, you know, we got the goal, but, it is what it is, I guess, is one of those things. You know, we should have had two goals. Aaron Johansson had that goal that was called off, and he was clearly onside. Another CONCACAF refereeing job right there. But, you know, like I said, it is what it is. Should have been up 1-0, you know, halftime. But, you know, Zardes came on, and he made an immediate impact. It's a beautiful ball. He cut it right back to Dempsey, who fired it in the back of the net. So, you know, you get what you get, and like I said, it's just one of those things where we really have to pick it up heading into Monday and then to the quarterfinals.
Yeah, the Group B really showed that they are the group of life in their game. Jamaica drew with Costa Rica. I said Jamaica is going to be a dark horse here, at least to get they could possibly get through to a semifinal because of who they could probably play in Group C, which doesn't overwhelm much there. And then El Salvador and Canada drew as well, kind of showing usually what they get in that kind of thing. Mexico blew out Cuba 6-0, as you would figure. You know, Cuba's weird sometimes. They really do well, and sometimes, and they surprise kind of like what Haiti's doing, or they just do nothing.
And well, they had
kinda, that's what we got.
Yeah, the issue with Cuba though, they had some visa issues apparently, to where like five or six players couldn't make the trip. Same with their coach. Plus, they had one player defected. So, you know, they were down six or seven players going into that game against Mexico.
Which also tends to happen at least two or three times in every Gold Cup.
Exactly, yeah. And, you know, so it was just one of those things where it's like, well, you know, they had no chance going into that game against Mexico. I mean, you know, they'll obviously get a stiffer test coming up, you know, in their next two games. But, I mean, I don't know how stiff of a test it's really going to be for them, but it'll be a lot better than Cuba, let's put it that way.
Surprised that Guatemala got beat the way they did. You know, they have such veteran leadership and everything, and looks like they scored on them early, and Guatemala just couldn't get back. But
that's all
you
know,
they probably
it.
At least got 3 points against Cuba. The key game is against Mexico. Oh.
Exactly. It's key. You have to jump on teams early, and if you do, you can really put a team out, you know, out of their misery if you're able to keep that pressure on them. And that's, you know, that's what Mexico is able to do, and, you know, sometimes it's all it takes.
So if you're Jurgen in the next game, do you just trot out a total B team? Do you do a bit of half and half, or
do you try half and half? I think.
Do you try to care at all that you're trying to, you have teams' fates in your hand? Are you trying to be kind of fair to the competition? Play your starters.
No, I think you. I mean, your goal is to go out there and win. You know, I wouldn't have competition in mind at all when I put out the team. I'm just going to look for the best case scenario for the team and try and get the best team out there. I mean, I kind of liked what they did. I mean, I'm trying to. I mean, Zusi didn't play very well. You know, he's always a hard worker, but that's about it. I mean, he had a couple, you know, place where he worked really hard, but that was about it. Gave away the ball. I didn't think Mick Discord didn't play very well either, which he's had a disappointing Gold Cup so far because he didn't look very good against Honduras either. You know, I'm trying to think if there's really anyone that, you know, really stood out. I mean, Garza, I mean, he was okay. I mean, he got beat pretty bad on the Haitian chance where, you know, on the diving header. But, you know, other than that, I didn't think the back line did a horrible job. Up front though, like I said, Josie, he's gone in my book. I'm fine with Zardes. The problem is though, and I think Stuart Holt mentioned it on the post game, you know, I want to see Zardes put together a full 90 as opposed to, you know, because when he started against Honduras last game, he struggled. He didn't look very good. But when he comes off the bench the last couple of games, he's been that spark plug. But I want to see that from him, you know, starting from the opening kickoff. So I would give him a chance. I thought, like I said, Johansson, I would put him up front too. And I would go with what they did today and just kind of see how that plays out. But I mean, you can really go ahead and kind of approach it as, you know, like I said, a situation where you can not throw stuff up against the wall and see what sticks, but, you know, just kind of get some guys who haven't had too much playing time, kind of get them, you know, going and everything like that. So it'll be interesting to see what Jurgen does after this.
So you don't rest Dempsey or anything like that?
I don't know. I mean, I guess it kind of depends. I guess you could just, I don't know. That's a tough one. I mean, part of me says, yeah, but then part of me is just like, yeah, I mean, you're there to win. And you want to go into the quarterfinals with with some momentum. And I think a loss would kind of take away, from a pretty, like I said, an underwhelming group stage performance so far. So I think if you're able to go out there and put together a good performance against Panama and win, you know, and kind of ride that momentum into the quarterfinals.
I mean, they're going to have to come at it because Panama's going to give them all they got because, you know, Panama has to get a result here or they're out. So,
yeah.
You know, I don't know. I see them probably, you know, I can see Klinsmann kind of trying to mess with it a little bit just to see, knowing that he's, you know, he doesn't have to worry about losing, you know, first in the group or anything. It doesn't really matter what happens for him in this game, but I think you have to have some kind of consistency for something, because you're going to be playing, whether it's Costa Rica or whether it's Jamaica, a high-powered team in that second round, or, you know, in the quarterfinal, and, you know, it's not a joke.
Exactly. Yeah. Yep. I mean, the thing is, they've been able to, you know, survive the first two games that they've had with, you know, with pretty bad performances. But, you know, against a solid team like a Costa Rica or Mexico, it'll be a quick exit for the United States unless they pick it up.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it could easily be something just like the women, where you get to the, you get to the part that matters, really, the part that decides when you're going to be champion or not, and you turn it up because you have higher competition. That's also, you know, you have to wonder too if they kind of didn't expect a whole lot from Haiti, and, you know, when they got surprised, basically kind of shocked a little bit that Haiti took it to them, and then, you know, it didn't really have much of an answer for it, it seemed like.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, Haiti came out, they took it to them early on, and I got to give a lot of credit to Haiti, because they played a game that was pretty inspiring. You know, they went forward a lot, and really, they made some noise, and they, like I said, got to give them credit, because they, you know, they took advantage of a team, you know, a U.S. team that was giving them a lot of room in the midfield, and it could have been much worse. I mean, there was, I think in the 12th minute they had a free kick that clanked off the crossbar, you know, so, you know, if that goes in, man, you got a whole new ballgame there. So it was, U.S. is once again is lucky to escape with the other 3 points.
Yeah, but, you know, the point is they got the result. Now let's see what happens on Monday. So you think when this is all said and done on Monday night, when we're here talking about post-game for the Panama game, do you think the U.S. will have a bounce-back game, you think, or it's going to be another one where they just get through it? And how do you think that group – who's getting out of here, you think?
Well, the way it's been going, I think it'll be I think it'll be another underwhelming performance. It just, I haven't seen anything to think otherwise. So, you know, with that being said, I can see Honduras making it out. But, you know, it wouldn't surprise me if Panama comes out and sneaks. You know, honestly, you know, in looking at it, any one of those three teams can make it out. It's just been one of those tournaments that, you know, anyone can do just enough to get out, and you know, and then it's like, well, I mean, it's just whichever team shows up. I mean, who would have thought, you know, we'd see in some of these results that we have so far. I would say, but if, I mean, if I had to pick, I would have to go with my original pick with Honduras.
Man, I just don't see the U.S. have been able to do this where they get these wins. I see us getting another win, and I don't think I think Honduras will beat Haiti, and I'm guessing Haiti would have the tiebreaker in some form, unless Panama just, yeah, because if Panama gets, unless Honduras just trounces Haiti, Haiti might have the tiebreaker, and then it's up to whatever happens in the other groups. But I think they would kind of be, I mean, it's possible they could get through as a best third if, let's say, Cuba never gets any points. And, well, I don't know. I don't think so, because I'm pretty sure Guatemala is going to beat Cuba. They'll get in as the other best third, probably. They'll get more points, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, both of these games are going to be interesting because everybody's, except for the U.S., everybody's going to be gunning and trying to get those points. So, going to be fun to watch these on Monday for sure. But
Definitely.
before we get out of here, what do you think about the story that the MLS is preparing to give Chicharito $10 million a year to bring him to MLS?
You know what? I'm fine with it. I think that, there's another star that, is in, in the prime of their career. Same with Gio Dos Santos to Los Angeles is what, the rumors are. I love it. I'm all fine with what they're doing. Especially on the eve of
It's still
Steven.
Chicharito going to Orlando, right? That's been story.
That's what I've been
Okay.
hearing. Chicharito to Orlando, and then like I said, Gio Dos Santos to LA. Like I
I wonder
said,
if that
I'm
says
perfectly.
anything about the Mexican League now that you've got two Mexican stars not wanting to go back to play in Mexico. They want to go play in the US. I mean, that's obviously a great thing for MLS, you know.
That's what I'm saying. It's great that, and apparently, I was trying to figure out exactly how it sets up because I believe what the rule is, the new rule that the U.S. or that the MLS is passing. If I can, like I said, I have nothing in front of me right now. It kind of goes off of it, but from what I heard, that the money that they have that they're going to get, it's like $500,000, I think, that they can use. And apparently, you can buy down the contract of one of your DPs. So it was kind of
Right.
confusing the way I heard it. And I mean, so, that's kind of which opens up another DP spot, I think is how it is. So it's pretty, I don't know. I like it though. I think they're doing exactly what they need to do. They're doing a good job of building the league, and I think the more young stars you have, because you're always going to have like the older players, and they're always going to be reserved for the bigger teams. Like I said, Pirlo and Lampard in New York, that's to be expected. I don't doubt that at all. I mean, you're going to always see that, but the young stars. It's huge. I think it's great for a league to see a Chicharito who's played on the biggest stage with Manchester United and then, most recently with Real Madrid. I love it. Absolutely love it.
Yeah, I love it for the league too. That's great stuff. I mean, yeah, it's, Mexican internationals, but still to have all this, great talent coming in the league sort of at once. I mean, especially, you have a Gerrard and a Pirlo and a Lampard who can go abroad and kind of like Beckham be able to tell other players, hey, this league isn't so bad. Hey, there's a lot of competition in this league. You guys should come, and you don't have to wait till you're 35 or 36 or whatever. And then you've got the Mexican internationals that can also go to Mexico or speak to their, when they play for the Mexico team next, after they've played some games in MLS, that hey, if you're not happy with the situation going on with whatever club you're at in Mexico, come play in the US. It's the teams here, it's competitive,
Exactly. And then you have a situation where Aaron Johansson is, saying that he wants to come over and play in the MLS during the prime of his career. I mean, and he scored an absolute boatload of goals with AZ. So, I mean, and that's another young star that is, he's solid. So, I mean, there you go. Another young player to add to the league.
I just want to know how Jurgen feels, because it seems like every time these players get together, you just hear more about the internationals wanting to come to play in MLS instead of going from MLS to the international, field in Europe. And he's that staunch guy about you need to go play in Europe, you need to have that experience, and just seems like more and more what you're getting is the opposite. Which is great for MLS, but I don't know, he's too happy about what's going on.
Yeah, I don't think he really is, but hey, it's the league's growing and it just continues to when you got new how many more teams are coming in? What do you have LAFC, Minnesota United, Atlanta. Atlanta just debuted their, you know, their new colors and everything. What do you think of the? Have you seen them yet?
I like those colors, and I like the crest. I like all that. I know people are complaining that it's United and FC and all that crap, but I think it's awesome, and it looks good.
It looks really, really good. They made up for the unoriginal name, so it does look really good. But yeah, you get new soccer markets coming in, and. It's everything's looking really, looking really up for the MLS. And now, like I said, with Pirlo and Lampard, and then Gerard making his debut tomorrow night against Club America. That's awesome. It's great. Things are continuing to rise for MLS.
Yep, for sure. Well, we will be back on Monday. With a post game it looks like it's going to be on Last Word Soccer Club this time for sure, as long as nothing happens like it did today. But if not, we'll be back for sure on Thursday with a regular football episode discussing the AFC South. And I don't know, Randy's supposed to pick the college conference for that, but. We're going to be bringing back the MLS podcast here pretty soon. I'm waiting until we get done with Battleground so that we don't have any more WWE pay-per-view interruptions for Sunday nights for a little while. And then we can at least have until SummerSlam where we go interrupted or uninterrupted. So
There you go.
But, I mean, are you good with those? Are you going to be on for those?
Well, I plan on it. I know Monday I will be attending the Home Run Derby, and then yes, All Star Game here in Cincinnati. So I'm lucky enough going to all the All Star festivities. So I'm pretty pumped about that. But yeah, I plan on hopping on with the MLS stuff. So I'm all for it, especially with.
I saw you wrote the first MLS Power Rankings.
Yeah, that was. That was a little tough, kind of going through and, because I catch, every MLS game that I can. So, you're kind of going through and it's been a fun season. So, teams continue. And the thing is, it's hard when you don't have, when you have like some of these teams with so many games in hand, and it's really tough to kind of gauge when there's not an even playing field, but. You can tell who's really good and who's not. And that's the good part. It's the middle is where it gets really clumped in.
All right. Well, until Monday night or Thursday night, whichever day we wind up being here. See you later, everybody.